We're taking a close look at flood mitigation and what communities can do to be strategic about handling spring melt and rising water. There's extra urgency this year as many areas are still recovering from 2018's historic flooding. From August 17th to mid-September, we watched the water rise and rise across the state. And then these accounts.
Right now at 5, it is flooding like they have never seen before in Dane County.
It's being called a summer's worth of rain in just one day.
Check out Black Earth Creek. It is at its banks along the side of the creek. You can actually see cars getting washed into the creek.
Do you worry about flooding again this spring as the snow melts? Do you plan on taking steps to decrease your risk of flood damage? We're at 800-642-1234. Chad Berginnis is Executive Director of the Association of State Floodplain Managers. That's a national organization headquartered in Madison, representing 6,500 floodplain managers and promoting education and policies that mitigate the impacts of flooding. Chad, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me again, Kate.
So now what are we seeing here as this spring shapes up, as the snow melts? What should we expect when the warm weather comes?
Well, the initial outlooks issued by the National Weather Service show an above to well above normal flood risk for much of Wisconsin, especially the main stem of the Mississippi River and some of the Wisconsin tributaries. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we have saturated soils from this past fall. We have a heavy snow ice pack on top of that. And we're expected to be in a fairly active weather pattern over the next several weeks and potentially months. And so depending on the timing of the rain, the timing of the thaw, and the ability of the soil to drain that water, I think we're going to have a higher than normal flood risk for this spring.
Have we recovered yet from last year's historic flooding?
We have not. One of the things that that we've seen over and over across the country is that recovery from a large flood event like what happened in Dane County in the region often takes years. And in fact, even in some of the biggest events like after Katrina, for example, recovery isn't even complete after a decade. And so it's going to take several years for folks to recover and get back to normal.
Well, some communities still can't see over their snowbanks. You know, Eau Claire just broke a 90-year-old record for the most snow in a month this February. So what is the effect of these heavy snowfalls?
Well, the heavy snowfalls are one factor, but what honestly is contributing this year is the fact that the ground is just full of water. The ground never really had a chance to dry out from this past fall and early winter, and so when the ground is full of water and you have snowpack on top of that, the only place it can go is down our streams and rivers.
So what preventative measures should we be taking to decrease flood risk?
Well, the one measure that every single person can do right now, whether you're a homeowner, a business owner, a renter, is to buy flood insurance. And I say that, you know, kind of looking out the window, yes, it's 5 degrees right now and the snowpack is there and we're not seeing flooding. But a flood insurance policy typically has a 30-day waiting period. And so by the time you're aware that floodwaters are coming, it's going to be too late to get that flood insurance policy. But if you're outside of a mapped flood zone, a flood insurance policy can be as little as about $200 a year.
So even if you don't live in a flood zone and that you're outside of the flood zone on a FEMA map, you should still really think closely about getting that flood insurance.
Absolutely. And this is probably one of the biggest misperceptions about flood risk in the country is that folks tend to think that as long as I'm outside of that marked flood zone on the FEMA map, I'm okay. But the FEMA flood maps only show one kind of flooding. It's that statistical 100-year flood. There's all kinds of flooding that can occur. We saw that here in Dane County with urban stormwater flooding. There's high lake flooding. There's riverine flooding. And even we just had a situation here at ASFPM where our own insurance agent, when we moved into our, as we're moving into our new building, we said we wanted a flood insurance policy. And our agent said, but you're not in a flood zone. And so if you get that from your agent, you should ignore that and still think about buying a flood insurance policy based on the risk you have.
Talking with Chad Berginnis, Executive Director of the Association of State Floodplain Managers, getting your thoughts. They're welcome. 800-642-1234. Was your community affected by flooding last summer? How did you deal with it? Are you changing your approach this summer? Chad, last August and September, you saw sandbags all over the place. Are sandbags a good strategy for households or businesses as they look at rising water?
Well, we still see that sandbags are probably what I would call a necessary strategy because they're so widespread in their use. However, ASFPM has a program, for example, called the National Flood Barrier Testing and Certification Program, where we test new technologies that are alternatives to sandbags. And so some of those are barrier systems that literally a homeowner can unroll, put around their house, and then as the floodwaters come, it rises basically to prohibit the waters from coming in, and then falls down when the waters leave. And the nice thing about some of these alternatives is that you don't have the cleanup mess nor the environmental hazard that you do with contaminated sand after a flood's over.
Are these alternatives to sandbags readily on the market for consumers?
You know, they're because it's a new technology, they are not as readily available, you know, as we'd like to see. And so, for instance, one of the things that we do with this program is that we maintain a website, nationalfloodbarrier.org. And that has a list of all of the certified products that have gone through rigorous testing done by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and a certification by a worldwide insurance company called FM Approvals. And all of those products have been tested and certified are on that website.
So there are an estimated 15,000 lakes in Wisconsin. Is this threat of severe flooding, you know, it's not going away? What are longer term strategies the state should be considering as we look at managing flood risk on the long term?
Well, the strategies are really going to come from everybody, because flooding is a problem that we can deal with as individuals, as communities, and as state and federal governments. So at the individual level, probably the best thing to do is be risk aware. Go beyond the FEMA flood map. If you're going to buy a house, for instance, talk to neighbors in the area, ask if there had been stormwater flooding or sewer backup or those kinds of things. If you're a community, we need to leave room for our lakes and rivers to do what they do naturally, and that is flood and drain the land. You know, for thousands of years, humans have depended on that cycle as it would replenish the land for crops and agriculture. And so communities, through their zoning, through their subdivision codes, they can strengthen those to make sure there's room for rivers and the lands. And then at the state level, and we have two great state agencies that deal with flood risk here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin DNR has a floodplain management program that can provide technical assistance and work with communities directly on those codes. And then we have Wisconsin Emergency Management that has a hazard mitigation program that can provide grant funding. Let's say you have a house that's flood prone that needs to be elevated or moved. It can provide grant funding to help you do that.
Chad, you represent thousands of floodplain managers across the country. What is your biggest challenge? What do you grapple with together?
Well, I think our biggest challenge right now is getting ahead of development. One of the things that I see time and again in a lot of states is that you look at future development sites. Usually right now they're cornfields. And tomorrow, there are going to be subdivisions. And if we don't get out ahead of development through good land use codes, through good mapping, so that we identify those little bitty creeks and rivers that are going through that land, then what we're doing is we're actually creating tomorrow's flood risk by putting houses too close to streams and rivers and in areas and in ways that we shouldn't be doing it. So really, I think the biggest risk comes through a lot of communities' land use and zoning policies. And then the other thing I would say is that, look, climate change is real. It's happening. Here in the Midwest, it's a little bit different than on the coast. In the Midwest, we're typically seeing more frequent high intensity, you know, the 4 to 6 inch rain events that cause flooding on the coast, they're not only seeing more powerful hurricanes, but also sea level rise. And so we've got to take future conditions into account.
Are the FEMA maps, do you find those to be a really good resource, that they're updated enough? Are they reflective of what homeowners are dealing with?
You know what? FEMA maps are a great resource. And again, probably a practicing floodplain manager like myself, we understand the limitations. But look, the FEMA flood maps are absolutely the first place you would go to look at flood risk. But we just want to keep the message that it's not the last place to go. You need to supplement a FEMA flood map with local information that may not be captured on that flood map.
Chad, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Chad Berginnis is Executive Director of the Association of State Floodplain Managers. That's an association that promotes education and policies that mitigate the impacts of flooding. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're hear this conversation about flooding right here on the Ideas Network.